Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning. It is Sam. It is Greg on a game day Saturday morning.
Morning.
We've got NFL action coming up later on today, which you can hear. NFL playoff action, I should say. The divisional round, Colts and the Chiefs. 4 o'clock pregame, kickoff at 4:30. NFC action later on. Cowboys and Rams. Pregame 7:45. Kickoff at 8:15.
Yeah.
So there you go. Got quiet around here all of a sudden. There was so much left on the table from last hour.
Yeah.
I just don't know where to go to first. And we got things we have to talk about. We got to get into, you know, these coaches' moves in the NFL.
But can we still go back and throw out
go one? Go ahead, man. It's your show, too.
No, just throw out one innovation at the top of the hour. Last hour, the thing.
Lucy, you got to explain it to him again.
Last hour, we talked a lot about innovations that enhance the sports viewing process.
Experience.
Because the Goodyear blimp is going into the College Football Hall of Fame. That's right. They're going to peel back the roof and lower that thing. No, they're not. picture that, right?
Hang on a second. Isn't it just the blimp and not the Goodyear blimp? Because there's the MetLife blimp, and it's just this.
The sponsor. But Goodyear's been the sponsor for it for so long, and so that's the one that's been all kind of blimps. I mean, I went to the first time Falcons went to the Super Bowl. It was a Tommy Hilfiger blimp. And Tommy Hilfiger is running around in the press by, what Tommy Hilfiger doing with a blimp at the Super Bowl? But that's that his
they
name.
They have
was
somebody
on the
up there in the drawers.
I don't know. Man.
Or is that Calvin Klein? Marty, I've never seen purple underwear before.
You know what I mean? But the Goodyear blimp is the one that we're most identified with, and that's the one that, and that's why we're having this conversation this morning and sharing with you to call us at 404-741-0929 and share the end of broadcast innovation that you couldn't enjoy the game without. Something that you've seen so much, and I'll throw one out, basketball.
Well, let's give the rundown of what we have so far.
What do we have so far?
It's called the Hawkeye. I call it the tennis line close-up to see if the ball's in or out thing.
That's the name for it.
It's called the Hawkeye. I didn't know it had a name. The first down line.
Yep. On the field.
In football, period. The Pro Tracer in golf. And just being mic'd up. Having that, whether it's the officials or the players.
Yep.
That's where we are. You had one more.
I said the walking shot off the bus for the NBA. We just used to watch an NBA game with that camera guy walking backwards, not knowing what's behind him. We just want to see that player when he gets off the bus and walks to the locker room. I think another one from basketball. How about the camera above the basket? I think that's
By the way, I couldn't say backboard last night.
Backboard or standard or whatever you want to call it.
But I mean, I was trying to describe where we should put that 24-second clock or 35-second clock, which they ain't going to get in high school.
No, they won't. The National Association's not going to allow that. But the one up above the basket that always gives you some spectacular view, especially those slam dunks that come in. That's like spectacular view. So I love seeing that camera up there.
Any kind of view that gives you sight of something important is something we can't do without. So to me, it'd be that pylon cam in football at the goal line.
At the goal line?
Yeah, the goal line or pylon cam.
That's kind of new.
Well, again, I can't live without it. I want it to stay now.
He ain't been around that long.
That's okay. I want it to stay.
Okay.
Because that's of all the innovations on the on the field, that's like the most important one because it shows if a touchdown or not.
I think the one we used to really is instant replay and everything. And think about when you didn't have that. And it wasn't available. And now not only do we have it on the broadcast, but now it's actually a part of the game.
You and me are old enough to remember when they used to bring that special camera out for special slow motion for the big games.
Super slow mo.
Yeah, super slow mo. ABC's going to pull out their super slow mo. They kept it in a garage with the John Deere.
And it would come on the screen, super slow mo.
Super slow mo.
Just thing that you watch as you watch a game that became a part of the broadcast experience. You can't imagine watching the game without it. Now we got some baseball ones that we talked about, and you know I got mixed feelings about one.
Well, hang on, I thought we were only going to do one.
Oh, we're only going to do one. Only going to do one.
Already done two.
All right, well,
go ahead.
Okay, if you want to join in, 404-741-0929. If you have a certain innovation that you enjoy watching and you can't,
I did it again. Oh wait, Bo's over there raising his hand.
Bo, what you got?
See, I got one that you may have been already about to say. And that's K-Zone, man. K-Zone in Major League Baseball gives, and it's called something different on every channel that you watch baseball on, but they have all adopted a version of it. It gives us armchair umpires all the fuel we need to moan and complain about calls made
on
strikes and balls in Major League Baseball.
And they should have that all the time. Get rid of the umps.
But when are we going to use it?
Because I don't know if that's ever going to happen because you're looking.
We never thought we'd see replay in baseball. Yeah. Period. I think we'd ever see baseball replay in baseball at all.
But you know how the old heads are in baseball, man.
Yeah,
That's where the traditionalists go to die.
So we might have it another like 25 years or so. whenever those old writers and old baseball,
still using the Smith Corona,
those old cats. Leave us, the guys that didn't vote for Ken Griffey Jr. in the Hall of Fame, or even Chipper Jones for that matter. There were three of them, probably the same three people.
How about that?
So give us a shout, 404-741-0929, of your innovation you cannot live without. Let's get in, just touch on some of these coaching changes from this past year as we move forward. And the one that stands out to me is, well, the Arizona one is just, I just don't. Guy gets fired from Texas Tech and you hire him in the NFL. That's Kingsbury, but
a lot of people are getting the skunk out of that movie.
The one that's interesting to me is because I thought this was going to be the landing spot for another quarterback, because that's Bruce Arians in Tampa Bay, which means now Jameis is probably going to be locked in there because he said he's our guy.
He's our guy. So Bruce Arians is landing at Tampa Bay, and let's see if he can solve the, I won't say the mystery of Jameis, but just to be him consistent on the field and be a good citizen off the field. I think that's the main thing you want to try to get. And I don't know if a coach can cure all that, but obviously he wanted to be consistent in what he does on the field.
What's your biggest worry with Jameis? Is it the things that happen between the white lines or between his ears?
I was going to say the thing I worry about is that football taken away from him. Because what else?
Well, let's narrow it down to those two things. Because one is his play and one is his judgment.
Yeah. And I think it's probably between his ears.
Yeah,
physically gifted, incredible athlete, and not only great quarterback, he's a great pitcher. This guy could have gone baseball. He was an incredible pitcher at Florida State baseball team. He pitched over here at Georgia Tech a couple of times. He was lights out. So he's like an extremely gifted guy. He just got some other stuff.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
he can be crunchy strong and throw a ball 110 miles an hour, but if you can't trust him to stick to a game plan. Or just not go, have another player get in his head. If you're afraid of that, then that's a bigger issue.
Well, that's what Bruce Arians is inheriting as he comes in there. Didn't take Adam Gase long to find somewhere to land. Out Miami and quickly up to New York. I don't know if that's an improvement or a step up.
What are the Jets? I don't even know. I just know that
they're
the team. Yeah, exactly. They're there. They're actually what Green Bay used to be. Without the Siberian part of it attached to them. Because I think the only reason we talk to them is because they talk about them is because they share a stadium with the Giants.
Yeah.
And they have got, people talk about Philadelphia fans being the most miserable sports fans in the country.
I've been to the Meadowlands.
I swear, Jets fans seem to me, at least for me,
they're
just miserable all the time.
They are.
And the only people who are more miserable than Jets fans, at least that I see, are Mets fans.
Well, they got a reason, too.
Okay, well, they both do. But they're more vocal, and maybe it's because they're coming out of New York.
Yep.
But those are the two that just, to me, you want to give them a hug and a donut or something.
Because a donut?
They just need something.
They do.
And they're always complaining. 404-741-0929. What do you see in Bruce Arians – that leads you to believe that he can straighten Winston out? Because I don't see it.
I don't even get straighten out Winston, but I think he can set some things up around him and maybe some things, that are more to his liking or some, as far as some decision-making, personnel that comes in around him and other people with staff that works with him. Maybe he responds better to a different quarterback's coach or somebody else that spends more one-on-one time with him. I think that's the best thing that Arians could do is the supporting cast that he brings in along with him. I mean, that'll be crucial for a player like that because now they're saying we're going to trust you. Even though you've had these missteps, we're going to trust you with our franchise going forward. And, oh, by the way, we play in this, highly competitive division of the National Football League. And so, we want to be a factor. We know what Atlanta should be. We know what Carolina can be. We know what New Orleans is. And so it's a crucial time. To me, you got to present it to him that way and then see if that makes the light go on.
Are you going to be surprised at this one? I'm going to just tell you right now, I want the Chiefs and I want the Cowboys to win today. I don't like the Cowboys more than the Rams. The Rams have been kind of tailing off, and I don't think Gurley's 100%. So since he's not 100%, if you beat them, they're not 100%, so I don't feel that bad about it. But I want to hear the uproar and the people who hate the Cowboys. throughout this next week. So that's why I want the Cowboys to win. I want to hear all the people complaining about their success. I want the Chiefs to win because I just like the Chiefs. But getting back to some of these matchups today, the NFL cannot want Indianapolis to become successful and move
that,
on.
And what that is,
they don't have that Peyton Manning anymore, even though Andrew Luck's a great quarterback.
And Andrew Luck is a great story. Andrew Luck is a great story. Here's a guy we didn't know when we're going to get to see play again, or if we would ever get to see play again.
He's boring.
And here he is. But I mean, he's still a tremendous story.
Listen, he's got the football fans. We're hooked in. Yeah. I'm not talking about that. When you're talking about the Super Bowl, you got to bring more than just the football fans to the table.
Right.
If you're a network.
That's what they do for 6 hours before the game comes on. Remember, that's the longest pregame show in the history of the world.
Corey's in Decatur. Corey, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, good morning. I'm enjoying the show so far.
Appreciate it.
Good morning.
About the three cameras, I think that one of them, two of them are brand new. One of them is the pylon cam. The other one is the ref hat cam.
Yeah.
And then the third one would be the sky cam when they do the review.
Mm-hmm.
And you see if they step out of bounds. Second thing, I'll make it quick. I'm a 49ers fan. And with the Cardinals bringing in Kingsbury, I'm gonna enjoy it watching running over the Cardinals. And if you look what Bruce Arians did when he got there after Ken Whisenhunt, you know, he turned that program around and they were able to get to the playoffs. I think Bruce is gonna be able to do that with the Bucs.
Okay.
All right, we'll watch for that. Thanks a lot, Corey. Thanks a lot, Corey.
Let me ask you a question.
He mentioned the pylon cam. We talked about ref hat. The ref hat, have you seen the ref hat?
I've seen it.
They don't have it every game.
I don't see it as much. Remember last week I was talking about Philip Rivers and not being able to describe his career.
Yeah.
Yet he's one of those, you know, he falls into this category, not necessarily the champions like Tim Duncan, but he's an all-time great, and yet he's an afterthought. Going to Hall of Fame? First ballot in your mind?
I think so. I don't know first ballot, but he'll get there. I think because of where he's played and he doesn't have any hardware.
I got another guy who falls into that same category, and again, the fact that I got to bring him up. And we talked about him a few weeks ago because they played the Falcons, and that's Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
How do you define his career as far as wide receivers?
Oh, now he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, so's Philip Rivers.
But I think
is he a compiler? Because he just hung around and got a bunch of numbers.
Oh no.
Well,
no,
he got to one Super Bowl, and were it not for a great catch by I forgot who it is on the Steelers, the wide receiver, they would have had
Antonio
themselves.
Antonio Holmes.
Yeah, they would have got themselves a ring.
Yeah. Round.
But, oh, we haven't.
Antonio, all right, they made that catch, Antonio Brown.
Okay. If that weren't to happen, if that didn't happen, he'd have himself a ring, but it didn't. Okay, so circumstances for a lot of great players are just, you know, you missed it by that much. You know, we talk about Stockton and Malone. Unfortunately, came around during the years Jordan was, was putting okey-dokes on everybody. How do you define, how do you capsulize Larry Fitzgerald's career? When you talk about, where does he come after Jerry Rice, you know, if it's T.O. for you or other all-time greats? See, because I put him up there, he's unfortunately a person who just was in a region that people kind of, you know, look at. Hey, if I need one hit in baseball, there's a whole lot of people that you would think of first before you think of Tony Gwynn. But Tony Gwynn is the guy I'm choosing. But he played in San Diego his whole career, and he was an afterthought. He was that, oh, yeah, man, I forgot about Tony Gwynn. The same thing with Larry Fitzgerald. The same thing with Philip Rivers, I feel. I think those guys are in that category.
I don't think Fitzgerald. I mean, I think Fitzgerald's been one of the more dominant receivers of his time.
Yeah, and all those guys have been dominant. You know. All of them have dominated their position during their time. They just have come a minute and a half short of either getting the opportunity to play for a ring, as in the case with Philip Rivers, or getting close, like Larry Fitzgerald and I, and just brought in Tony Gwynn. He played in the World Series, but they missed out. And then when you talk about the all-time greats, they should both, all three of, well, I don't know about Philip Rivers, but they're top five all-time, but they're like, oh, yeah, I got to put them up there.
Yeah.
You feel the same way?
Well, about Rivers, obviously, but he's in a position to do a little something about that right now. But we'll see. We'll see. Hey, coming up next, we're checking with somebody who is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's right.
He is a Hall of Famer. He's also the voice of the Georgia State Panthers. We're going to talk about him, about the Panthers, and the game day coming up on Decatur Street.
They got a game today, right?
It's a game day Saturday.
You can hear it right downstairs. Where?
Right, 1380 WAOK.
But this is 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam, Greg, Bo on the other side of the glass on a game day Saturday morning. It is. It will be. On Decatur Street, Georgia State Panthers. Of course, Sports Radio 929.
Your battery ran out or something.
No, man. Sports Radio 929 The Game is also your home for Georgia State Athletics. Every Tuesday at 4:40, Coach Dave Hunter is on with Dukes and Bell, spending time with them. And he has a lot to talk about and smile about.
Hang on a second. Coach who?
Coach Ron Hunter.
Thank you.
Yeah, I say Ron.
I can't believe you. I caught you on.
Oh, man, you caught me right there because I'm thinking about the football coach.
And you're thinking about our guest.
Yes, and I'm talking about Dave Cohen. I kind of combined the two. As we say good morning to the voice of the Panthers and a Hall of Famer, Dave Cohen. Welcome, Dave.
Good morning, Sam. And if I'm correct, isn't Coach Dave Hunter going into the
Atlanta Sports Hall of Fame? He's one of the four inductees into the Atlanta Sports Hall of Fame.
Where is Dave a member of what Hall of Fame you're talking about here?
Georgia Radio Hall of Fame.
Okay, well, people didn't know that.
You Georgia need to, Radio Hall of Famer, Dave Cohen. Dave, are you used to people introducing you that way now?
Not really, Sam, but I appreciate it. It's certainly a nice honor.
When did you go in, Dave? What year did you go in?
Class of 2017.
So that wasn't the Ryan Cameron class? Or
no,
is that the Larry Tinsley?
I don't know. Ryan was back before then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations. Should we bring Dave into our conversation before we get into hoops about innovations?
About innovations. I know you're a radio man, but you also watch some sports from time to time. Is there a certain innovation?
You have to tell him about the background.
Okay, we're doing this because, as you are a Hall of Famer, this week the Goodyear blimp is also a Hall of Famer, Dave.
Give him a second to laugh on that.
It's so.
Yeah, I think I heard that or read that somewhere.
Yeah,
interesting.
It's something that we've come accustomed to seeing that shot, and Britt Musburger owes those folks money because that was always the thing he used for "you are looking live." So anyway, what have you watched in watching any sport, be it basketball, football?
So like the Pro Tracer in golf or the Hawkeye in tennis, it tells you if the ball is in or out. You know, players mic'd up, things like that. The pylon cam. What is an innovation in sports that you feel like you couldn't live without?
Well, again, I don't know that there's one that I couldn't live without. You remember back in the day, even back into the early 80s, when the NBA really only showed one or two games, and it was CBS Sports, and it was Brent Musburger. And you know, the way now that they have every single NBA game on TV, the way everything is mic'd up, the cameras on top of the backboard, the netting is mic'd so you can hear the sound of the ball swooshing through the net.
Is
it? It really left nothing to the imagination with the advancement of technology. And really, whether it's football or basketball, you watch a football game and you can see the cameras on the wire of all, you know, above the field, going east, west, north, south, so that you really don't miss a thing.
Yes, this guy
just can. The technology that has brought the viewer into almost the playing field or the basketball court to the extent that it has really kind of changed things quite a bit.
Really has. And Dave would know this. You know, you are around and have called so many games in so many different arenas, but we'll be in the home arena later on today. Dave, talk about what's happening on Decatur Street. Georgia State, of course, preseason favorite in the Sun Belt. And so far they lived up to it quite well. Be in action later today against Louisiana Monroe. But thoughts about what we've seen with this team so far?
Yeah, really living up to the billing in those preseason polls, Sam. And you know, they got back from Texas with two wins in the opening of Sun Belt play, UT Arlington and Texas State. At the time, Texas State was 12-2, and early on they were sitting in first place in the Sun Belt Conference, get out of the arena there in San Marcos with a four-point win. Knowing they were coming back to take on what has been two pretty good Louisiana teams, Louisiana Lafayette, although they lost their best player, as you know, still gave us a little bit of a run for our money, but ended up picking up the win the other night, 89-76. And then Louisiana Monroe started out pretty quickly. They were 2-0 in Sun Belt Conference play and kind of hovering in that top three, top four of the Sun Belt standings. They've got the player of the week in Deshaun Smith coming into Atlanta today. And they lose on a buzzer beater at Georgia Southern on Thursday night. So it'll be interesting to see how that affects them when they get into the sports arena this afternoon. But we all kind of thought throughout the summer that this would be, again, another one of these special Georgia State basketball teams. And it's not just because of the preseason player of the year, DeMarcus Simons, who's averaging almost 20 points and 5 rebounds a game and night in and night out filling up a stat sheet. But the core group is back, and that's what really makes this team special, because joining DeMarcus, you got seniors Jeff Thomas, Devin Mitchell, and Malik Benlevy. And all three of those guys are averaging double digits. Jeff's averaging 11 and 5, Devin Mitchell 12 since coming back. He has really shot the ball well in the last eight games since coming back from that early season injury. He's hit 31 of 62 behind the three-point line, so he's really been filling it up from the perimeter. Of course, Malik, as you know, an inside-outside guy, 13 points and 6 rebounds. But if you look at the stats for each of these guys, and I know you do, Sam, because you're sitting just down to my left, but they're getting it done on both ends of the floor. It's just not the ability to score points. And this is a team that's averaging 77 points a game, but it's really how well they've been playing defense. If you go back to those two games in Texas, they didn't play at the top of their game offensively. They played enough to ultimately score more points than UT Arlington and Texas State, but it was really the defense that made the difference of those games. And that's really what has provided a really, really good balance for Ron Hunter's team. And, you know, he has always been the type of coach that has stressed defense. But you look at, you know, guys like Jeff Thomas, again, 11 points and 5 rebounds, but 19 steals, 15 block shots. Malik Benlevy, 13 and 6, 25 steals, 19 blocks. Then you look at a young guy like Kane Williams, who's our sophomore starting point guard from South Paulding High School in Douglasville. He's averaging 11 points, but he's third in the Sun Belt Conference in steals with 32. So it's very much a team that is balanced with what they can do offensively, Sam. But as you know from having watched all these home games, it's a very, very good and solid team defensively.
Talking to Dave Cohen, joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Dave, you mentioned balance. You mentioned special as far as this team. What are some of the hurdles that are coming up for this program that's going to let you know that the play that you've seen so far is sustainable and that these guys are going to have a special season?
Well, obviously, as long as everybody stays healthy, close to 90 to 100%, I think it's going to be a fun run to New Orleans and the Sun Belt Conference Tournament. Because, again, of that core group of Simons, Thomas, Mitchell, and Benlevy, I think the team has already overcome, as you know, a number of hurdles in what Ron Hunter put together with his non-conference schedule. It's one of the tougher non-conference schedules that we've had at Georgia State in the last few years. And they went down to the Cayman Islands and they beat Georgia. They've already faced five teams that were NCAA tournament participants last year. But they beat Georgia handily down at the Cayman Islands. They go over to Tuscaloosa, Coleman Coliseum, and granted, they were down double digits at halftime. They were down 22 early in the second half. They fought back. They fought back. Defense really rose to the occasion and did what it did to limit Alabama and end up winning it on a Malik Benlevy buzzer beater. So they have already overcome a number of the hurdles. But as far as conference play, I think this one's a hurdle today. Again, we'll see how Louisiana Monroe reacts to losing on a buzzer beater on Thursday down at Statesboro. And then, of course, we still have Georgia Southern twice, once in Atlanta, once in obviously down at Hanner Fieldhouse. So, as Coach Hunter has told me numerous times, the fact that you're picked preseason and have been an upper echelon Sun Belt Conference team really since we got back in the Sun Belt Conference, he knows and the players know that every night or every afternoon they get on the court, the basketball target is on their back. I mean, right now Georgia State is one of the two or three teams in the Sun Belt that everybody is chasing. And right now everybody's chasing us because we're sitting in the top spot in the Sun Belt Conference standings. And, you know, everybody's aware of DeMarcus. They're aware of Jeff and Devin and Malik. And, you know, some other guys are stepping up, having big games as well. Jordan Tyson had a big game on Thursday night with 8 points in the ball game, and also some key rebounds, a couple of blocks. So, yeah, it's one of those things. Everybody who's touching the floor from DeMarcus on down is making a contribution. And again, the balance between the offense and the defense and a core group with mainly seniors and a junior is really what's making this team special. Given it's a window of opportunity this year, as it was last year, to have another special season.
Yep. You want to follow Dave? You can follow him on Twitter. Yes, he is on Twitter.
You dragged me into the Twitter world, Sam. Thank you.
At GA State Voice, at GA State Voice. Now, he mentioned going to the Cayman Islands. That was very nice, you know, when they played Georgia and whatnot. And I got the assignment to go to Montana where it was 15 degrees outside and they had mountain lions running around in town. They didn't want people to go outside the hotel. So I got a chance to do that. But we also look at what Dave.
Dave, we were kidding with you that week. You were the Georgia State Radio Network's UConn Cornelius because you went from the mountains of Montana to the mountains of Boone, North Carolina.
UConn Cornelius. There you go.
But that's, I mean, this team has traveled over 11,000 miles, Dave, this season so far. I mean, and like you said, a lot of road opportunities against teams that made the tournament last year. It toughens this team. And I talked with Kane Williams this week about the focus. You talk about him being a sophomore point guard. He's been given the keys to the car. The thing that it challenges you to do when you play in those arenas, you know, when you go and play in somewhere like Montana, when you go down to Coleman Coliseum at Tuscaloosa, when you go to Manhattan, Kansas, to play against Kansas State, and how it toughens you and gets you ready for what they're doing now in the conference.
Yeah, no question. And Kate is a perfect example of that. You know, we used to talk about R.J. Hunter filling up a stat sheet. We talk about DeMarcus Simons filling up a stat sheet. And Sam, you know, Thursday night, Kane Williams, perfect example. Ends up with 8 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. So even if it's not necessarily on the offensive end of the floor, Kane is a perfect example of a guy who's basically come into Georgia State as a freshman, growing up in Ron Hunter's college basketball world and college basketball system, and is turning into a really, really nice point guard for Georgia State. It's great that he's just a sophomore, which means we've got him for the rest of this year and 2 more years. But you're right, it's turning into, hopefully, what's going to be a special season. They're battle-tested, as you mentioned, from a very challenging non-conference schedule. We were just talking about the Cayman Islands. That started off with a win over St. Bonaventure out of the Atlantic 10 NCAA tournament team last year. Mm-hmm. We did get roughed up a little bit by a very good Creighton team, but they showed the character that Coach Hunter and his staff have instilled in this bunch to not put your head down, because after a rough outing in Game 2 down in the Cayman Islands, what did they do? They bounced back, and they did the same thing to Georgia in the third and final game of the tournament. So very much a battle-tested team. And, you know, what did Coach Lefty Drizel, whose name adorns the court at the sports arena, say all the time, Sam? He would always say, good teams win on the road. And this team, as you mentioned, has traveled quite a few miles away from Atlanta. Again, they're battle-tested. They're road battle-tested. And, you know, we hope that, and so far it has, going to pay dividends in a run through the Sun Belt Conference this year. But looking forward to see Deshaun Smith today. Again, he's a Sun Belt Conference Player of the Week. He had 29 the other night, or 27 the other night at Georgia Southern. And they come in having won 6 of their last 8 ball games. So Louisiana Lafayette came in on Thursday night. They had won 8 of 10. We managed to win that ball game, and Louisiana comes in. Louisiana Monroe comes in having won 6 of 8. So looking forward to seeing them here this afternoon as well.
All right, Dave, wrapping things up with you. Let people know what time the pregame show and what time we tip off.
Well, we're on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. That's the sister station there to 92.9 The Game. 1 o'clock tip-off at the Sports Arena. Airtime 12:30 with our Ford Countdown to Tip-Off Panther pregame show.
All right. That is Dave Cohen. Thanks so much for spending some time with you. I'll see you in just a few hours down on Decatur Street.
Yeah. All right, Sam. Appreciate it. Thanks, Greg. Thanks for having me on. Yes, Sam. We'll see you in a few hours.
All right. That is Dave. And the folks down in Louisiana are going to get him because he keeps saying Lafayette. And we're not supposed to say Lafayette about them no more. But I guess when you beat them, you can say whatever you want to say about them.
Enough said. We're going to wrap things up with a couple thoughts on today's NFL action and then get a couple more pieces of technology. I got to get back to this thing, but we can't do it today or tomorrow
because
there's some more NFL. But this whole thing with you guys just kind of throwing your hands in the air as far as the shot clock in high school, the explanations I got are not sufficient. So we're going to get back to this at some point. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam. It is Sports Insiders coming up in about 20 minutes, top of the hour. Dan Kamal, Dr. Dale. You want to get back to some of these calls here about the technology that we have before we get into today's games here. Tony's been hanging on. Tony, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. I got an innovation. I think I heard somebody already mention it, but SkyCam.
Yeah. Well, you did.
Well, somebody else mentioned it. You like that thing? You know, I call it PlayStation Cam because I think that's where it came from.
It's about not enjoying the game if they took that away.
You know why I like it so much? Because it comes from Vince McMahon of the XFL.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. How about that?
I just think it's funny that the guy who tried to destroy football, per se, as everybody said back then, the NFL uses it now.
Well, you got to remember something about the XFL and Vince's connection to it. His partner was Dick Ebersol, who ran NBC. So the innovation was there from the television side and the NBC side. Nobody else was using it, though, until the XFL used it. But that's a Dick Ebersol. I think he was the first one to use it, wouldn't you say?
Yep. Well, Tony, if the XFL does come back, as he says he wants to, are you going to watch?
Please.
Are you going to watch it?
Yeah. I'm a football dude now. I'll watch any type of football.
I appreciate it, man. Let me ask you a question. When would they run it?
What?
If you got the AFL right now starting a week after AAF, starting a week after the the Super Bowl.
Which we just had big changes with that this week.
We'll get to that in a second. Yeah. When would you have it? You can't run it in conjunction with the AAF.
But that's a whole thing because guys would want to play their way from that to get a chance to go to camp.
I understand that. Yeah. But this is not like two baseball leagues going at it simultaneously or football or basketball leagues.
No, but you know what it'd be like?
What would it be like?
It'd be like two wrestling leagues going after one another, and that's exactly what Vince did with the Monday Night Wars back in the day, putting WCW out of business. I think going up against this other new football league is exactly what Vince wants to do. This is Vince McMahon you're talking about here.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a TV contract.
Oh, but he'll get one. Well, it'll be Spike or USA or somebody.
I don't know how important the TV contract is right now, though, Greg, because everything's being streamed.
And he could put it on the WWE Network or something similar to that.
Right.
So he's already got that platform.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see what happens.
I don't know.
We will see what happens. You know, I think he got set back. I haven't heard anything more about it since he got run over by the AAF.
Who made the announcement that
they had the network and all this other stuff? Because at the end of the day, while yes, all those other platforms are what's next, you have to figure out who you're talking to. So if you're doing something that's strictly to a certain demographic and those folks hang out completely online, then that's one thing. But football begins and ends with television, and then it streams out, you know, all these other people and all these other platforms. And so to have that in place, I think, especially from a business standpoint, would be the way to go. Can we get back to the AAF thing there? Because locally, as you said, lost the head coach and the offensive coordinator.
Well, apparently, I'm reading some things now, and they're saying the offensive coordinator may still be in place.
Yeah,
I think
Michael Vick still may be here because...
In case people missed it this week, our team, the Atlanta Legends, which all of the teams are in San Antonio right now.
Right.
They're having a joint training camp. For the upcoming season, which starts on the weekend following the Super Bowl here in Atlanta. So this is coming up really soon. These guys are going to be out there to the end of this month. Then they're going to come back, and they're going to be ready to start playing. And this week,
and they're playing over Pete's Place, right? The one here in Atlanta?
Pete's Place. They're going to play over at Georgia State Stadium. They will be playing. They will be the home of your Atlanta Legends. And Brad Childress stepped out. Gone.
Out the door.
A month before the first game.
And general consensus is what? He was trying to get himself another job.
Wow.
And that didn't happen. And he said, y'all really want me to coach this team? That's kind of what I feel, he said. I don't know that for sure, but that's kind of what I feel.
With the coaching carousel being what it was the past couple of weeks, I mean, it's been spinning. I mean, the agents representing coaches right now have been earning their money. Their guys zooming all over the place. And talking about the assistants at the collegiate level, they're zooming cross-country all over the place.
Well, that's because there's no new ideas in sports, and a lot of people are trying to find the next guy who's having success now, right? So that's Sean McVay, right? So they're trying to find the next young coach. Where are all the young coaches or coordinators? Most of them are in college. Or you're taking these guys that are unproven. Or you're just going just throw a dart at the wall and come up with a dude who was just fired at Texas Tech. Hey, that looks like a good fit here for our Arizona Cardinals.
And probably when you see something like that, you say, wait a minute, here's my resume.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, that's what this week has kind of been.
But when I heard about the possibility of Michael Vick being gone. And you guys have misunderstood my reasons for wanting this to happen. But I've been on the same thing. How long have I been beating this drum?
Yeah.
For a while, right?
Yeah.
I said the second that they drafted Lamar Jackson, Baltimore should have somehow started a relationship with Michael Vick. Because the one thing Michael Vick didn't have was somebody who played similar to him. And this is not about play on the field. While I'm sure there's some things he could point out and may help him.
I think the game with the Chargers pointed out some things.
This is not about that. I'm about to tell you. It's about how to carry yourself or not carry yourself as a quarterback in the NFL. And the reason why his story is different and can be told in a way that's different than anybody else is because they have the same skill set. I know there's other players who have messed up and could talk to other quarterbacks or other position players, whatever they played. But this is a guy who all these young guys coming up, most all of them, idolized. Okay? And now you got a guy who plays as close to Michael Vick, the way he played the NFL, as anybody else. And now Vick is going to come to him and say, listen, come over here, young blood. This is what I did. Don't do this. It's all about the cautionary tale. Just how he carried himself, how he was the last one in and the first one out of practices, all the things he didn't do. Not that Lamar Jackson is wrapping his arms around that way of going about his business.
I don't think so.
But the point is, he would be somebody who could add a perspective that nobody else can.
That money would be much better spent in bringing in Bobby Petrino. Hold your nose, bring in Bobby Petrino as a consultant. Because Bobby Petrino outlined the offense that he didn't get to run here with Vic, and he did run it with Lamar at Louisville. That's why I would bring him in to work along with him and maybe not be a part of the coaching staff. But to me, if Baltimore Ravens wanted to spend some money on somebody, spend it on Bobby Petrino to come in and spend some time and help them craft an offense that gets the ultimate success out of this.
Oh, so you want Baltimore to just change the way they're doing their offense?
No, I'm not changing anything. Because Chicago found out the way to defuse him. You got to have the right talent to defuse a Michael Vick. There were teams that were able to do that. You know, Tampa Bay Bucks had a defense
Baltimore
that could do
it. Baltimore did it to him, too. I'm not talking about the play, though, nor changing their offense. I'm talking about the individual.
That's the most crucial thing. The individual seems to be fine. You want an end result. The team, they found out whether or not the players on the team would follow him. They've made their decision. They didn't make a coaching change in that game, and he had them moving late in the game. He ran out of time. The bottom line is, the Chargers found ways to defuse him, and they probably looked at some of the stuff that some people out defenses did to defuse Vic back in the day, and they did the same thing.
I mean, that was I don't think they did, and I think they're two different times in the NFL. But the other thing about this is a guy who's been in the league less than a year. What week did he take over running this offense? Like 5 weeks ago?
I've been about six.
Five, 6 weeks into the NFL. Of course he's going to be made to look like a fool by other established teams, other established defensive coordinators who know how to go up against a running quarterback. Okay? I just think that give this guy every possible tool you can. And if Michael Vick's available, that particular quarterback, I'm not saying he's going to work for everybody else, but that particular quarterback I think can gain some insight. If it bleeds over into his play on the field, that's extra gravy. But I believe he can gain some insight from who Vic was as a player and how he carried himself and is to wait not to do. That's what I'm saying. That's all I've been saying.
I think he does probably fine as being a leader with the team. I think Petrino will probably tell you he's fine at that. I just think the money would be better spent with Petrino coming in to work with him and helping the Ravens tweak some things with him to further the success that he's had since they've cast their lot with him, and he is going to be their quarterback going forward.
You know where they got his pipe?
Because Vic got a job. Vic got a job here. Apparently now
he's still not sure.
He got a job here. They're saying he's still.
You say you're not sure. Shout out to Off the Hook Barbershop. KB's got us piped in over there.
What's going on?
All right.
All right.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.